For a number of years now, people living with congenital heart diseases, they've been always told not to exercise. I mean, I'm keeping it a little simplistic here, but the fear has always been that the strain might be just too much for them. And for Linda O'Brien, Linda lives just outside of Warren these days. That was her childhood when she grew up, constantly being told not to exert herself. But now we've got some new research, and it says that controlled exercise might actually be key to improving the life expectancy of people who are living with those heart concerns. Now, that is the work that Associate Professor Rachel Cordina has been doing with the Heart Research Institute. Now, I spoke a bit earlier to both Linda and Rachel, and I started by getting Rachel to explain the work that she's been doing.
So the research project is actually studying all different types of complex congenital heart disease. And on the very extreme end of the spectrum is a condition where people essentially have half of a functioning heart. Instead of being born with two pumping chambers, they've been born with one. But there's a whole range of other very complex types of heart conditions, and Linda is living with one of those other very complex types of conditions. And in the olden days, you know, we only started doing open heart surgery in the 1950s, and back then very many people didn't get through the operation. And then over time, surgical techniques and critical care has evolved. And so now most children born with complex congenital heart issues will survive to adulthood, so that now we actually have more adults than children living in Australia with complex heart conditions. Having said that, though, congenital heart conditions are still the number one cause of death in little babies, and it's a really important area that needs to be addressed. And because there's this pioneering generation of people, there wasn't really a place for them to go once they fell out of paediatric care. So once you're 15 or 16, you're supposed to move away from the children heart cardiologist and move to adult heart cardiologist, but our system wasn't really equipped or ready to look after people with really complex types of heart conditions, and it also doesn't serve people who live in remote areas of Australia. It'll be great to hear Linda's input on this and how living in a fairly remote area has impacted her access to care and things over time. But the research project is addressing a huge problem. Because over the years, people used to believe that exercising was dangerous for people who had complex heart conditions. And so they were basically told to sit on the sidelines and were afraid of exercising. But actually, emerging data has shown that exercise is really important and beneficial for the circulation, as well as, of course, for mental health and your weight and your risk for other problems like diabetes down the track. But exercise training in a research project is really, really tough if you want to train someone face-to-face and they live out at Warren or, you know, out a long way from where you're training. So this project, we're bringing the trainers to the people all across the country.
I'm going to leave you there for a second, Rachel, because you did mention, of course, Linda O'Brien. And Linda, I know these days you're a little outside of Warren. It was remote Queensland when you were a kid. What was it like for you growing up? What was your childhood like?
Well, I actually had a bit of a giggle then when Rachel said about sitting on the sidelines, because that was me. I wasn't allowed to, you know, do the activities that kids, not that I wasn't allowed to, but I wasn't encouraged to do the activities that other kids were doing, like running races and, you know, playing cricket or whatever. I did ride horses and things like that. My father used to hold his breath the whole time. He actually, and climbing trees, we had big bottle trees in our garden, and he cut all the lower limbs to stop me climbing the trees. It didn't work. I understand what Rachel's saying about, you know, exercising and that, and back when I was growing up, yes, it was. Even when I went off to boarding school, I wasn't encouraged to take part in, you know, volleyball or even PE. Once they realised what my condition was, they sort of sat me on the sidelines.
So it was real kid glove treatments for you when you were a child.
Yes, yeah, you could say that. I bucked the system a bit. I sort of went and did what I wanted to do, which horrified my parents and still does, I think. But, yes, because my mother keeps telling me, you know, I didn't listen to anybody and did what I wanted to do. So, but it, yeah, it was. You sat on the sidelines and you didn't take part.
It doesn't, I mean, obviously you made a way to have a lot of fun in childhood from what you were saying, but, you know, it doesn't sound like a particularly dynamic way to grow up, just from what you've been saying.
Well, I suppose so I was born in 68, so back then, yeah, not as much was known about it, I suppose. And they did treat everybody... It was an unknown condition, I suppose, and they didn't know how to treat people, so they just sat them on the sidelines.
Rachel, when did the conventional wisdom start to change about no exercise? When did we start thinking, well, maybe if this was carefully controlled resistance training, when did we start thinking about what a difference that could make for someone living with this style of congenital heart problem?
A great question. Well, I think a few things have happened. First of all, people like Linda were never really expected to survive childhood. We started doing what was seen to be really heroic surgery, hoping we'd get them a bit more time. And it was beyond everyone's wildest dreams that people started growing up and having babies, and we got more comfortable seeing people with physical exertion. And we've also started routinely doing exercise testing and seeing that it's actually very, very rare for nasty cardiac events to happen during even maximal exercise that we're pushing people to when they come in for a test.
Wow.
We've also gotten a little bit more experienced in other heart diseases, realising that exercise is helpful in other acquired types of heart disease, which are different to what Linda was born with, but just realising that even if the heart muscle's not 100% normal, that exercise can be beneficial for heart function and a whole lot of bodily functions. And the final aspect of it is that in very complex heart diseases of the half a heart type that Linda does not have, some of our research has shown that it's the most effective therapy known to humans, even more effective than any medication, to improve heart function and exercise capacity. So I think a number of things have happened, and it's evolving. Because this is a pioneering generation of people, we're still growing our knowledge base.
I want to talk about the details of what you are going to do in this trial in just a second. But Linda, Rachel said at the start, you know, access to care, particularly for remote patients, has been problematic. I mean, I think you and I both know, living around this area, just access to healthcare can be particularly difficult. But, you know, I imagine your childhood was a lot of trips to big city centres, a lot of surgery, not a lot of care near home, near where you live.
Yeah, a lot of trips. Brisbane was our main point, the Prince Charles Hospital in Brisbane. I think we did yearly trips down there.
Wow.
For a checkup, which, you know, back in the early 70s, the roads weren't fantastic. So we did a yearly trip. We're lucky Mum's parents lived in Brisbane, so we were able to stay somewhere. Growing up, when I'm moving around, I had to go back to Brisbane every year until 2002, I think. And then I started going to Orange, then Sydney. And I calculated one day, because I flew to Sydney, I would drive from here to Dubbo, fly to Sydney, go to the hospital, see the doctor, come home. I think I spent 35 minutes at the hospital in Sydney.
That was it? All of that travel for
all
a half hour
travel.
Catch up with the doctor?
Yes.
Wow.
He nearly fell off his chair when I told him. So, because my GP and I had been discussing telehealth and things, and he said, well, you know, for you it's not an option. I said, oh, I get that, that's fine. So I just, out of interest, I thought, oh, I'll just see how long I'm here for. And yeah, 35 minutes. So anyway, it was a day trip away from home, so it wasn't too bad. But yeah, access to health out here, as you say, it's not great. And it's good that people like Rachel come to Dubbo or Orange, you know, that we don't have to travel all that way.
No, especially, and if I'm right, if I'm remembering correctly, you've had a number of open heart surgeries from when you were a kid onwards, haven't you?
Yes, four.
Four?
Yes.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah, I suppose it is. I've had four major surgeries. Four open heart and another one. So, yeah, one when I was five, my first open heart when I was 12, and then I've had three in the last, since 1994.
Rachel, Linda's story, you know, all that surgery, clearly, you know, that's invasive, that's a very heavy medical procedure. I mean, ideally, you wouldn't want to be putting kids through that if there were ways around that.
Yeah, that's right. But unfortunately, Linda's story is not all that unusual, and I'll explain it like this. So, for example, if you're born missing a heart valve, and we need to put an artificial one in, you can imagine the size of an artificial valve we'll put in a five-year-old little hole.
Mm.
But then that five-year-old grows to be a 10-year-old, 15-year-old, you know, grows up to be a big human, and the rest of the heart and the body grow, but an artificial heart valve does not grow. And so we will need to replace that repeated times to keep up with the size of the person. There's a whole bunch of other things that similarly, over time with degeneration and things, will need to be updated. But even though it sounds scary, our surgeons are so used to operating on people who've had numerous other operations. It actually, for the congenital heart surgeons, doesn't increase risk all that much, but it's a massive burden on the person and their family, and very scary as well.
I'm chatting this morning with Associate Professor Rachel Cordina from the Heart Research Institute and also Linda O'Brien, who lives just outside of Warren. Rachel, into the details, what are you looking for in this study? You're trying to recruit 400 people. What's the plan?
So we are recruiting kids and adults who were born with complex congenital heart disease and trying to address the huge problem that plagues people about being scared to exercise, not knowing how to exercise, what's the safest way to exercise. And so basically they're all getting personal training. So the little kids, you can't tell a little kid, do 10 push-ups and do 10. So if the little kids, they're meeting in groups in their at their local scout hall or school hall with our trainers, and they'll have little classes that are games, and we get siblings and parents involved, and there's also some education over 4 months. And for the grown-ups, they get their own personal training either in their local gym or using online. We're training them online, and we're posting them all some really cool exercise equipment so that they can do weights and things at home using resistance bands and stuff that are easy just to post in the mail. And they also get educated about how to train themselves, what to look out for, and so they get 4 months of intensive training, and then we follow them for the whole year with phone calls and giving them a little bit of advice so that we can understand how effective we've been, what are the adaptations in the body, how does the heart manage, what works best, so that we can roll this model out as part of our standard routine care.
4 years is a long time, but obviously you need that length to see those changes coming through.
Yeah, so we'll be testing people over 1 year, not 4 years, but the study's going to take 4 years,
right?
Because it's epic. No one's ever, doing this to 400 people with their own personal training. It's just a massive undertaking. Perhaps a tiny bit. I've bitten off more than I can chew, maybe. But
no, go for the brass ring. With something this big, you can't just half it. So are you looking for participants, or do you have a good idea of that 400 at this
so
stage?
So we look after, there's centres all across Australia involved who look after the majority of people with complex congenital heart disease, because most of these people aren't looked after by usual adult cardiologists. So there's a pretty small posse of us who all work closely together. But if somebody's hearing this, we'll be advertising soon on the Heart Kids Facebook page, or you can contact me directly, and we'd love to chat to you if you want to get involved.
I'll make sure I get some details. But Linda, what would something like this have meant for you growing up? I mean, this would have been a complete change to the way you were living as a kid.
Yes, it would have, just having the knowledge, I suppose, and probably more so for my parents, knowing that exercising isn't going to hurt me. So, it'd be great.
Yeah, Dad could stop running around behind a horse with a safety net and hoping, yeah.
Exactly. No, he used to just go and look the other way.
That was Rachel Cordino, Associate Professor Rachel Cordino, I was talking to. Ending that was Linda O'Brien. Linda's just outside of Warren these days, grew up in remote Queensland, talking about her own life as a kid, living with that congenital heart disorder. Professor Rachel Cordino talking about the research she's doing with the Heart Research Institute and just the effect it might have on the lives of people who do have to live that way.
You're listening to Nick Healy on ABC Western Plains.